Thankful to be with y'all this morning. Much love to you, Brentwood Hills. Enjoyed our stay with Brother Ward and Sister Kathy, wonderful host, and enjoyed what Brother Jesse had to say. I've been interested to hear Brother Jesse for a while, just to see if how he's doing. Well, you're doing okay. I've got bad news for you, Brother Jesse. You're called to preach. They're not making a mistake. So there it is. He used to get on my nerves as a child. Now he's going to get on my nerves as a young preacher. But that's all right, because that's what we need. The Lord stops blessing us with men coming up in the ministry. It's a time we need to start worrying very seriously. And as I said last night, that's something we need to continuously pray for, that the Lord would send laborers into his harvest. I want to turn into the 21st chapter of the book of Isaiah. I'm going to, let's see, read the 11th and the 12th verse of the 21st chapter of Isaiah. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. All right, preach, brethren, what am I supposed to do with that? If y'all want to get up here and try to preach on it, I'll let you take a crack at it if you want to. I heard Elder R.A. Tindall preach on this text. I went there, heard a tape of it. Enjoyed it a lot. Wonderful sermon. The only thing I remember about the sermon is that I enjoyed it. Wish I remember what he said, what it meant, but I liked it so much that I remember liking the sermon over the years, and it fell on a day that I was thinking about it, and I said, well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's try to study. Maybe the Lord will open it up to us and give us some insight into what's going on. I read it, and I thought, yep, it's still there. That's about all I know. I looked at the commentators. Most of them said, we have no idea what he's saying. That's bad when they say that. Usually they'll come up with something out of left field. They couldn't even find a left field definition is of what it's saying. A lot of them said there's not enough information to really make a judgment on what it is. Then I remembered. Now there's a song about this. Not the song that I asked to be led. That's a different watchman song. There's another watchman song, but it's not in the book here. So I'm going to read it. I pulled it up. I asked Brother Google. Google obliged. This song is in some of our books. I've tried to lead it a few times. Watchmen, tell us of the night, what its signs of promise are. Traveler, what a wondrous sight. See that glory beaming star. Watchman, does its beauteous ray news of joy or hope foretell? Traveler, yes, it brings the day, promised day of Israel. Watchman, tell us of the night. Higher yet that star ascends. Traveler, blessedness and light, peace and truth its course portends. Watchman, will its beams alone gild the spot that gave them birth? Traveler, ages are its own. See it burst o'er all the earth. Watchman, tell us of the night, for the morning seems to dawn. Traveler, shadows take their flight. Doubt and terror are withdrawn. Watchman, you may go your way. Hasten to your quiet home. Traveler, we rejoice today, for Emmanuel has come. That was written by a man, Englishman, who was later governor of Hong Kong. He was a member of parliament. He wrote very many songs. This is the one that we have and kept in our primitive Baptist hymnal. Watchman, tell us of the night, comes right out of Isaiah 22. Let's get some scriptural context before we try to launch into it. In verse 6 of this same chapter, "For thus saith the Lord unto me, Go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth." Harper Lee wrote two books, and only two, one at the beginning and one at the end. The first book she wrote was To Kill a Mockingbird. People said that was so good she didn't need to write another one. She wrote another one to the annoyance of a lot of fanatical fans. The name of that book was called Go Set a Watchman. Comes out of this book, out of this chapter. Go set a watchman. That's the admonition of the Lord. Let him declare what he seeth. A watchman was one who was set out, watch, look. Especially during troubled times, then they saw an enemy coming. They blew a trumpet, warning the people of danger. They were to take that job very seriously. If they did not blow the trumpet, then it says the blood of the people was on their head. But if the people didn't take heed, the blood was on their head. Watchmen also did another thing that I've read and studied. When people traveling, especially at night, they pass by a city and they see the watchman, they would ask what the time is. That was their job, to understand the passage of time. They'd done it enough that they could give an accurate estimation of what the time is. You'd hear them say in the old books, it's 4 o'clock and all's well. Bear to tell us, is there danger coming? And what is the state of the city right now? The church is called New Jerusalem. That is a city. We have watchmen too. You know who they are? They are the elders, and they are also the deacons. Yes, they are. They are to watch. They are to see things that come that might afflict the church and issue a warning that we would avoid the things that could harm us. I've been doing a lot of blowing the trumpet lately, because I'm seeing some things that are bothering me, things that I used to be myself involved in, and saw there's no good in this. And so I'm blowing a trumpet, letting y'all know, be careful about some of these things. I've been warned myself. I've been warned by several brethren, several deacons, one of whom is a member of this congregation. Guess who that is? Yes, sir, Brother Ronnie, one time. Yes, sir, that's who he is. He said, you're all wet, Brother Dave, you're all wet. He was right as rain. Yes, sir, but I didn't know it at the time. He told me that. He warned me about it. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. And I don't mean that facetiously. I mean that sincerely. We all need to be warned. Warn the unruly, the scripture says. We're to admonish. And we are to reprove with all long-suffering and doctrine. And so, as the ministers and the deacons, they see things that are coming that may afflict the church, they are to tell us about it. They're also there to tell us the state of the church. They are to understand how the church is doing. And they are to give the information. Are we doing well? Are we not? How are we doing? Well, we're doing well. Here's what we're doing. Well, things could be better. Here's what we need to do. These are things that we need to improve on. We need to hear that wise counsel from our watchmen. That's what they're there for. That's why they're in the church today. And so in this troubled time, the Lord is telling them, go set a watchman. And let him declare what he sees. In other words, you better listen to the watchman. All of us. Watchmen need watchmen too. We need to listen. We're not up there. We'll never get up there. We're not beyond mistake. We need to be reproved. All of us need to hear the good sound counsel of our brethren. Rebuke a wise man and he will be yet wiser. A wise man will hear and attain unto wise counsel. So the watchman's going to declare. Verse 7, he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen and a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, a lion, my Lord. I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime. I am set in my ward whole night. That's a good watchman right there. We're not just supposed to be preachers or deacons or members only on Sunday. We are 24 hours a day. We are Primitive Baptists all the time. We ought to be believers all the time. We ought to be active members of the church all the time. Not just when times are good, but at all times. And so this watchman says, I'm there all day and I'm there all night. And I'm looking and I'm watching. That's a good preacher. That's a good deacon right there. He says in verse 9, and behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. And all the graven images of her gods he had broken into the ground. Of my threshing and the corn of my floor have I heard the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. In other words, I'm telling you what God is telling me. Amen. That's a good watchman. That's a good preacher who's preaching what the Lord instructs him and what thus saith the Lord. That's we are to appear today. Yeah, brother, he's talking about the standard. Amen. Well, this Bible is the standard by which we are to judge our behavior, our doctrine, how we go about in the house of the Lord, how we conduct ourselves in the church and out of the church. Now, all that's good. All that's amen. I agree with myself. Because it's out of the Word of God. I agree with the Bible. That doesn't help us understand what this text means, though. Watchmen, what of the night? How long till morning? Ask him twice. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The morning cometh, and then the night. Now, according to the song of the hymn, I believe they accurately interpret this scripture as a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. That's what I believe. I believe they're right. I believe that's what this is talking about. But in this interesting declaration given by the watchman, some interesting things come to mind. The morning cometh. The Messiah is coming. He's soon. He's at hand. He's coming. But why did he say, and then the night? That's interesting. Night doesn't follow morning. You look at a day, there's morning, noon, evening. Morning, afternoon, evening, right? Night does not follow morning. If it's 11:59, it's still bright, you still see the sun shining, and then at high noon, all of a sudden it's pitch black. Something's wrong. Yeah, there's something weird going on here. What are we having, an eclipse? Well, an hour later, it's still night. What's going on? What he's talking about is a very brief morning. A very short day. It's night now. A short day is coming, and then we're going right back into the night. How is that talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, that's real easy. How long is 33 and a half years to the eternal existence of God? That's pretty brief, isn't it? That's not long at all. That's a drop in the bucket, as they say. Maybe not even that much. But there are many scriptures that I can prove to you. In fact, I'll turn to them. Where the Lord himself said, as long as I'm here, it is the day. You know why it is the day? Because he is the Son of Righteousness. He's the S-O-N of God. He's the S-U-N of Righteousness. Who comes, descends, comes down from on high. With what? With healing in his wings. What are the wings of the Son? It's the rays of light that beams from the Son. Leslie and I like to go out and take a walk right when the sun's coming up. Now, to do that, that means you've got to get up before the sun comes up, which we do. There is a medicinal benefit in doing that that I have discovered to be true. That when you get up and you see the sun coming up, you can see the wings, the rays beaming up. If you just kind of look at it a little bit, don't look at it too long. You look at it a little bit, it will tell your body, wake up. It will release things and that will get your body going. So if you're still at 10 o'clock and you're trying and you're on your eighth cup of coffee, get outside and look at the sun and tell your body it's time to wake up. Now, my friends, it's time to look at the Son of God and wake up. All right? We've got the light of God. You've got to look at it. You've got to come close to it. You are not going to get it on your own. We are all in desperate need of that. Let me turn to a few scriptures, and I'll turn into the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John. 7, John chapter 7. I'm just going to get it out of context, but it's going to say what I need it to say. Well, I can't find it. I know it's there. You heard the sermon last night? I know it's there. I think it's 7:33. Let's read it. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go to him that sent me. You shall seek me and not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. He keeps talking. He tells them about those things. And they don't understand. Yet a little while. The morning cometh, and then the night. He was just with them a little while.
12:35.
I'm going there soon. But you missed chapter 9, verse 4, too. Okay. I wanted to get that a little while. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 4. That's the one I was thinking of. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then remember that scripture Brother Roger gave. What must it have been to have traveled with our Lord? What must it have been to hear him preach? to see the miracles that he did. What must it have been to ask him any question? And every answer is absolutely right. What is it to be with him and to know your exact place in his kingdom and not worry about it? Because he's going to tell you what it is. Information is given. Things are revealed. Light is given. The sun has descended. And we see clearly that all the mysteries of the law are revealed. The things that the prophets inquired, the answers are now given. The things that the angels desired to look into are now seen. You know, never complain about a small congregation because you've always got angels. You just can't see them. Yeah. Angels love to go to church. Yeah. It talks about there in New Jerusalem, it says to an innumerable company of angels. I take that literal. They're here right now, I trust, because they love to hear the message of the gospel. Angels mean messenger. And do you know it's got to be the most frustrating thing to be an angel, to have a message and not know what it means? Or a prophet to give something that's coming and not understand it? And in our Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he did and what he said and what he built, that being the church, set the church in order, gave gifts unto men, and gave us everything that we need to function as a proper New Testament church, that light has now come, and that we are blessed to have things that for so long were mysterious and now are revealed unto us. We still have this opportunity every time we come to the Lord's church. And we have this opportunity every time we open our Bibles. What do you wonder about? What things are mysterious to you? These are things that the Lord can bless us with. But what must it have been to travel with him? What must it have been like for him to wash our feet? What must it have been like for him to say, take, eat, this is my body. Drink, this is my blood, for shed for many for the remission of sins. And then to stand there as the Apostle John did and see him crucified and see him, his body broken for us and his blood shed for our remission of sins. And yet, being there, he hears the voice of his Messiah. Behold your mother. Behold your son. I'm still taking care of you. I'm still concerned about you. And then he said, and then he gave them prophecy after prophecy. I'm coming back. They're going to crucify me. They're going to put me to death. And on the third day, I will rise again. And they had the first Easter sunrise service, and nobody came. The only one we need to go to, and no one came. He told them about it. But he didn't need them there. And they didn't need to be there for it to be true. And he did not need their help. He didn't need to roll away the stone. He didn't roll that stone away so we could get out of the grave. They rolled it away so they could see that he wasn't in the grave. I believe he went up to glory, and that stone was just by itself, and they rolled it away like they need to see this, my beloved friend. And so he tarried with them those days. I think it was 40 or 50 days. Then he took them up into Mount Olive, and he gave them things that they needed to understand. And while he was yet talking, he wasn't finished. Oh, you could, all the books couldn't contain the things that he said. Not everything that he said is even recorded. He was still talking to them as he ascended up on high. And they stood watching him leave and go up into the sky. And then angels came. Angels said, "Ye men of Jerusalem, why stand ye gazing?" You know what I would have said? I said, "Mind your own business, angel. I'm watching my Lord go up in the glory, and you're yelling at me about it? Get out of here, you angel. I got time for that. I want to see my Lord. I want to see every bit of him as I can." But then they said, "Will you just be quiet and listen to me, Dave? This same Jesus will come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Oh, thank you. That's really good to know. I like that. All right. So now when he left, and that Son of God went up into glory, it became night. The morning cometh, and then the night. We are in the night of time. It's night out there, friends, and it's getting darker all the time. Well, but you know what they say? It's always darkest before the dawn. We read about the night is divided into the four watches. The first, second, third, and fourth watch. Interesting things happen in the fourth watch of the night. Read in Revelation about the great persecution. It says it's going to happen on the fourth watch of the night. They were toiling and rowing in the midst of a storm. Jesus walking on water in the fourth watch of the night. Watch, my friends. What of the night? We need to be asking that too. He chided them there when our Lord was here. He said, "You can discern the face of the sky, but you don't know the sign of the times." Now, what do we need to know about the sign of the times? That the Lord is coming back. There you go. That's all you need. I'm worried about the mark of the beast. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. I'm worried about the Antichrist. Why are you worried about him for? Think about the Christ. The un-anti, the Christ that the Antichrist is anti of. Why are you worried about that? I'm worried about persecution. There's always been persecution. Well, I'm worried about great trouble. We've always had trouble. You're trouble on every side. Well, what about in the last days, perilous times will come. Well, they're going to come. All right. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. But what of the night? We, as the watchman on the wall, we've got a story, not a story, we got a truth to tell. We got something that the Lord's people, the travelers, which is what we are, travelers, strangers, pilgrims, making our way in a world that's not our home, looking for that blessed home. Where is it? Watchman, what of the night? When will this traveling end? You know what? We get to say this. The morning cometh, period. No more night. No more night. You read in the book of Revelation, I believe it's the 22nd chapter, and it talks about in that city, in that place up yonder in glory, said they had no need of the sun because the Lord is the light of us that we see. Does that mean it's all gloomy? Is it all so sad? Is it so terrible? You know what my favorite thing to do in the world is? Complain. Gripe. I love griping. It makes me feel good. Some people throw pity parties. I throw pity pageants. I'll send you an RSVP to my pity pageant. You'll have a good time. There's something that takes away all my complaints, wipes away tears, and makes me optimistic. The morning cometh. But there's also something else. Is there still light in this world? Yes, there is. Where is this light? Well, it's all of us. He said, "Ye are the light of the world." You that microphone. It's right there. You are a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid.
Right.
The darker it gets out there, the brighter we shine. And the church can be a beacon, a lighthouse, where safe harbor, safe passage is. I knew a brother who was in World War II, and he was stationed there in the Mediterranean. And he said, we were on a transport going into Greece. And we were going in, and we saw this great light. And he asked what it was. He said, that's the city of something, something. It was on a hill. And you could see that light from a great distance. I love what Peter said in the book of 2 Peter. When he is going to talk about his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. I love Peter. He tells about it. He did not tell what he said that got him in trouble. He omitted that. It was redacted. But he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Let's read verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. He's not finished. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. What's the day star? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sun. What did he say? I'm the bright and morning star. Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What Peter is telling us is the scriptures are a light. The gospel brings life and immortality to light. We read the Bible. The Bereans read to see if these things were so. They saw their things were so, and they had enlightenment. When we read and we learn about our Lord Jesus Christ, it's like a glow we feel in our hearts. When a brother's up there preaching so sweetly, can you describe what it means to feel the Holy Spirit? Can you? I call it holy electric buzzing. That's how I call it. It's just like there's a buzzing. We've got some high wires behind our house. Sometimes you can hear it buzz. And I'm like, that's the Holy Ghost right there. You know, and that's how I feel when I'm in a good meeting. And it's just, and the Spirit is there. And I'm like, I lose all sense of time. And I lose all of my problems. And I am in a room filled with light. And I can see. And it's clear. And I'm not confused anymore. And I know exactly where I am. And I know exactly that it's God that is blessing us with this. And when I read, and these mysteries are open to me, it says, that's the day star arising in your hearts. It is a light that shines in a dark place. Tolkien wrote about that. They gave that light. He said, it's a light when all other lights fail. Well, I love that story, but this is a light even better than that. All light will fail. Our reasoning, our intellect, our what we think, our gifts, our abilities, our leadership, our watchmanship, what we have done is all going to fail. We're going to pass away. Someone's going to come along and they'll do it. The church keeps going. Churches get constituted. Churches go. They leave. church is still with us, though. It doesn't mean that's the end. It means that the church is doing what she is set up to do. That God put the church into the world as a place for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and for us to receive His word and be and walk in that light. And the healing descends down and comes upon us. And we realize, yeah, it's dark out there, but it's light in here. And we're comforted. It's better than a night light. It's better than anything. I've got a night light in my office. Y'all need to come to my house and see me. I'll show you this night light. It's very unusual. It was given to me by Elder Rick Stewart. Elder Rick Stewart gave me a night light. Why on thunder would Rick Stewart give you a night light? Well, actually, his wife gave it to me. And it was a night light that his mother, his grandmother, got him when he was a child. And I'm getting it. And I said, Sister Grace, why are you giving me this nightlight? She says, because I hate it. I said, well, what? And I said, why do you hate it? He said, well, open the box and find out. It was in the shape of the scariest clown you've ever seen in your life. Now, how about that? Now, does that sound comforting to you? Any of y'all scared of clowns? They don't bother me. But, you know, you walk into my office sometimes, and I got that thing going, and there's this glowing clown laughing right in your face. I have never told this story ever. Y'all just got original. Okay. Rick Stewart's going to be in my house. I am going to have so much fun with that nightlight. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to put it in the room. We're going to keep them in. Anyway, it's not good. It is not good, my beloved friends, that when we come to the house of the Lord that we're beat down, that we're just told by a bunch of dummies we are and don't give us any help in that regard. It is not good when preachers lord it over the Lord's people. It is not good that when we leave more confused than when we got there. It is not good that preachers preach so deep that nobody understands. I heard a lady say that preaching was so deep it was shallow. It is not good for preachers to preach only to preachers, to preach to the amen corner. The sheep are in front of you. Feed the sheep, feed the lambs. It is not good for us to come here just to hear only our favorite songs. Oh, it's good to hear your favorite songs. It is not good to be a Primitive Baptist because it's just nostalgic. I'm done with that. And I'm done with being criticized for that too, by the way. What is good? And what is needful, and what I desire from every meeting that we entertain, is that it is the greatest meeting we've ever been to. If you're going to aim high. It is not good to leave mad. It is not good to come mad and leave madder. It is not good to come just for the lunch. It is not good to come just because you got friends there. It's not good because they've got young people there. It is not good to come just because, well, they've got something for the young people. Yeah, we got something for the young people. It's called the gospel.
Amen. Right?
It's not good to come just because we have Bible study. We've got a Bible study. It's called preaching of the gospel. We've got a seminary. It's called preaching of the gospel, and it's called hard shelling. And it's called the watchman telling you you blew it. You made a mistake on that. You misinterpreted that text. I've been told that. You bet I have. And it is not good to come just because we were raised in it. It is good, my friends, to see that this is the pillar and ground of the truth. That this is, I'm going to say it, y'all. I'm going to say it. It is the true church of Christ here upon the earth. If I didn't think so, I'd still be looking for it. Now, my beloved, I have been blessed to be among this great company. I have been blessed to be corrected when I thought things needed to change or things could be improved. I found out what needed to be improved was me in my ministry, in my application of it. And what I have found is that what Jesus Christ built and what he furnished in the church that he said, that's my church, that's my bride, that's my New Jerusalem, that he placed in it and it put it up on the earth, that it is a beacon of light and it is a city set upon a hill. And that's why we need to come. Are you tired of all this confusion and darkness and backbiting and just whispering and scariness? And like you get on the news and we're in such bad shape, right? If you don't think so, watch any segment of the news. Watch any channel of news, and they're going to tell you we're in bad shape. Guess what? We've been in bad shape since Adam ate that, what we might thought was an apple, Brother Jesse. Whatever it was. Whatever it was, we've been in bad shape. We have been in darkness, and we need that light. And the Lord is the light. And now he puts that light within us. He says, now that light I give you, don't you put it under a bushel. Don't you put it under a bed. You let that shine. That is giving glory to my name. And it is a blessing to others that they may see, inquire, be ready to answer every man for the hope that is in you. Do you have a hope in you? I've got a hope that I'm going to be in heaven one of these days. I've got a hope that I'm going to see my King of Kings and worship him as I've always wanted to do. I can't wait for that day to happen. The night, the morning cometh. And no more night. No night there. Praise the Lord for this. Now, when you got a message like that, how can you be a grump? The milk of the gospel is not sour, y'all. Get rid of that pickle juice and start drinking some of that milk. And encourage yourself in the Lord. And it's going to be all right. You know why? Because he said it is. He's coming back. I can talk about this for the next 2 hours. But it's 13 minutes till noon. And I don't preach very long. That's why you invited me, I'm sure. I only preach about 35 minutes. Never understood long-winded preachers. None of them are here, by the way. But I'm done, and I'm sitting down. I'm actually walking out of the pulpit right now. God bless you.